You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. This week we have a segment about TikTok and all of the drama that comes with it. What's going on with Bradison? Whose career will remain relevant after the TikTok phase and obsession goes away? And what does the future look like for influencers? We have entertainment journalist and TikTok expert Will Heffernan joining us for a special segment I like to call TikTok, the rise and fall of influencer fame. Hey, Will. How's it going today, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you, Alessandra?
I'm doing okay. You know, just another day of snow and torture of the East Coast. But today, it was 50 degrees. So, you know, that's pretty good for us here.
I'm in Colorado and it's 45, but the snow out here is actually enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely more aesthetically pleasing.
Definitely. I did miss an 80 degree weather day in Los Angeles though.
Yeah, I saw those posts, some Malibu sunsets and all of that. You know, I miss that too. At least you can go back to it though right now.
Yeah, exactly. But on all the basic influencers and celebrities for sunset photos. But.
So speaking of influencers, TikTokers, all of those crazy kids, we definitely want to talk about how TikTok has become more mainstream, and who better to talk about this than Will, the TikTok guru. He sees them all of the time. He basically knows them. And at this point, TikTok is not only mainstream, but it's kind of saving us all from this pandemic because it's giving us endless entertainment while we're bored at home. So, Will, let's talk about what TikTok was like before the pandemic versus when it started. Do you think it really picked up once everyone was locked in their house?
Oh, 100%. Because honestly, I didn't really know anything about TikTok until kind of right around when the pandemic kicked, like started, like mid-March of 2020. Because before that, I had no idea what TikTok was. But when the pandemic started, I was like, oh, people are starting to use this app. It's kind of like another Vine. But then obviously once you started to use it, you realize it's totally different than Vine just because they're longer videos. There's more trends. I think TikTok marketed its app to be more mainstream than Vine did because Vine was more like of a clicky way for these influencers and creators to like build an organic fan base. But TikTok, I think, has become more mainstream and because of the pandemic, I think, because when everything shut down, there was really no entertainment or concerts or events or red carpets or like, you know, anything for celebrities to go out to. So yes, they have Instagram. Yes, they have Twitter. But I think TikTok added in the video aspect because even though Instagram has a video, you know, a capability, I think TikTok was more entertaining in that sense because people would post like creative ads, creative, you know, videos because there was more editing and there was just more possibility of creating like kind of short fun clips to watch. So I think because of the pandemic and TikTok kind of becoming big right around then, I think everybody started to use TikTok as their main source of entertainment.
I completely agree. I actually had a bone to pick with TikTok before the pandemic started because I thought it was stupid. And I was like, I'm never using that. It's a mess, whatever. Bam, this pandemic hits. And literally I start making videos of like my roommate's cat. And yeah, they didn't go viral. They may have had like 5 views. So they're all deleted now. Don't go look for them. But after a while, I started looking into it and I'm like, okay, these people are actually creating brands and names for themselves on this app. Like you have people that were YouTubers, but they weren't huge YouTubers that everyone knew. And then they start doing stuff on TikTok and now their YouTube pages are blowing up and everyone seems to know who they are. So clearly this app is doing something, talking about people like Bryce Hall, Addison Rae, Charlie D'Amelio. Those people now are like sort of becoming household names, and it's kind of freaky. So you have met basically every single TikToker that there is to meet. Do you have a favorite? I think I know who you're going to pick, but, you know, maybe you'll surprise me.
Definitely Charlie D'Amelio. No, I'm joking. Noah Beck. Noah Beck for sure. Just because out of all the TikTokers, Noah Beck is definitely the most authentic and humble, because the problem with TikTok that I do have is that followers kind of build an ego in people, and it makes people think that they're better than everyone else. And I'm like, simmer down. You just have like the followers. You don't really have the talent yet. You know, yes, you might have like 40 million followers, which is comparable to like a, I don't know, Miranda Cosgrove. But I think once you prove that you have talent, I don't think you should be that diva-y. Like, you know, as much as like, you know, I respect TikTokers and how much work and hard work they put into it, because I'm sure that's like stressful to rely on social media as your main source of income and everything. But at the same time, I think until they find that talent, like whether it's being an actor, musician, host, I think they need to kind of calm down. So that's why I like Noah Beck the most, just because he's very authentic, humble, knows where he's comes from, which is, I think it's like Arizona. So I like Noah Beck for that reason the most.
That makes sense. And I knew you were going to say him. You're mentioning like authenticity and people just being humble. Obviously, there are some TikTokers out there that have let this fame get to their head. Who do you think has been impacted the most by, you know, all of these followers so quickly building up on their accounts, and now we're kind of like, you know, they think they're all that?
Well, I would either say Dixie D'Amelio or Addison Rae. I say Addison Rae, even she's not like personally, like mentally the most affected, I think. I think Dixie's more mentally affected from what I can see in the social media world and videos. But Addison Rae, I think, has like a personal bodyguard now, which I think is a little bit for the top, because I'm like, you're not like an A-list celebrity or a politician that like your life is at threat. Like, your fans are literally 5-year-olds, which like I don't think maybe when she becomes a big actress, and maybe when she's like a Kim Kardashian, because you know she's friends with Courtney. I think it's Courtney. But I think she kind of went above and beyond with that personal bodyguard. I'm like, oh, it's a little weird, just because you're a TikToker, you're not an established actress yet. So I think once she's proven herself that she's a good actress and like is actually like, you know, Angelina Jolie level status, I don't think she should have a personal bodyguard, just because I think that's a little extra. I mean, calm down. Your fans are literally, like what I said, 5-year-old fans. Like, then Dixie D'Amelio, on the other hand, I think has been more affected personally, like mental health wise, because I have noticed like she was very humble and authentic at the beginning, but over the course of the whole like becoming famous part, I think she's kind of just mentally become more depressed in a way. I don't know, maybe that's just her monotone way of life, but like, you know, and I don't want to disrespect her because she dates Noah Beck, but I think she's been the most affected mentally, because over the course of like the last 4 months, I've just noticed she started to change her hair, and she just like kind of become a little bit more low key about herself, trying to like escape the paparazzi. She doesn't talk a whole lot as much as she used to, or as much as her sister Charlie. So I don't know what's going on there, but I mean, I hope she's okay, because obviously, even though you're not like a fan of her, maybe you should still hope for the best, because obviously hate shouldn't be spread in this world. But I think Dixie's been affected the most mentally.
Yeah, I can see that just from like watching YouTube videos here and there. And, you know, speaking of, there was a prank that Bryce Hall did recently. He pulled this prank on Noah and Dixie, but obviously Dixie was the one to face the wrath of it all. Do you know what prank I'm talking about?
I actually don't, because I think I've been in Colorado this whole week, so I kind of missed out on that prank. But I know, I saw like paparazzi videos, but I don't know exactly what the prank was.
So Bryce brought in strippers and blindfolded Noah and started FaceTiming Dixie, but it was the back of Noah's head, so she couldn't see that he was blindfolded. And from where Bryce put Noah's phone, it looked like Noah was watching these strippers twerk on him, but really he was blindfolded and didn't have any idea what was going on. So Dixie picks up the phone. Of course, she's really pissed, hangs up, and Bryce thought it was so funny. Obviously, Noah takes off the blindfold and he's like, what the hell's going on? And then realizes that Dixie's pissed. And now he has to clean up Bryce's mess. So a lot of people are coming at Bryce saying, this is not cool. Like, he's trying to ruin the relationship. And other people are like, he's just the king of YouTube. Do you think he may have gone too far with this one?
I definitely think so, just because I think he's, if he was like a teenager, I would understand it was like a harmless joke that gone wrong. But he's like, what is he, like 21, 22? Like, he is a young adult. He should know better that it probably would have, the way he videoed it would affect that relationship. Maybe he should have gone about it by like placing the camera on the front and shown both angles, like showing that he was blindfolded in the front and then show the back as well. If I was dating someone and saw that video on FaceTime, I would probably be pretty upset too and a little, you know, obviously jealous and pissed and everything, or betrayed. So I think Dixie has every right to feel what she's feeling. I think Bryce definitely did screw up with that. So I think Bryce needs to kind of maybe mature a little bit and think before he films and kind of think like what video angles he'll shoot from the next time he does a prank like that, because video angles can definitely help simmer the situation down for sure. So I think that sounds like what went wrong there. I think he didn't think everything through.
I think that he did think it through and that he's just crazy. I mean, you got to watch it. And I think when you do, you'll know what I'm talking about, because he seemed to know what he was doing. But I mean, yeah, he definitely took it a bit too far this time. And his pranks and videos just keep getting crazier and crazier. But people are watching them. Like, that's the thing. He's getting millions and millions of views and more subscribers. It's like he's just building this tribe. And even though people may not like him, they're still watching the videos. So I think that's pretty crazy. Are you a fan of Bryce, or what do you think about Bryce?
I'm not the biggest fan of Bryce. I don't really know he's kind of like another Logan Paul, where he just likes to cause a lot of controversy. But I think the difference between Logan and Bryce is, I think Bryce knows boundaries in a way where Logan didn't really know those boundaries. So I think there is a little bit more maturity with Bryce compared to Logan, but I'm not the biggest fan per se, even though like he might be like a more, you know, mature YouTuber or influencer, or like a, you know, that still causes these pranks, but not to the same extent where like Logan Paul filmed in the suicide forest in Japan. So I'm not the biggest fan of Bryce, but yeah, I think he still needs to win a lot of people over if he wants to have a lasting career in the social media entertainment industry, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's gotten a little bit better since, you know, throwing crazy parties when COVID first started and not really giving a shit to what he's doing now. Still, yeah, those boundaries, they got to be a little bit more defined, but, you know, maybe he's working on it. I don't understand his relationship with Addison still. I don't understand why they're together. I feel like they are such a weird match. What do you think about Bradison? Do you think this is going to last?
Before Addison started dating Bryce, Addison was like, wasn't really known in the industry at all. But Bryce was huge on YouTube. So when they started dating, I guess Addison started to get more followers and everything. And then, you know, obviously over pedestaled Bryce in the whole follower game. But I still think it's a weird relationship, because even though Addison started off as the lesser known person, I think now Addison just has that, you know, as much as I don't like her right now, I think Addison has more ability to become like an A-lister star, just because A, her looks, she, you know, does the makeup correctly. She has insanely good outfits every time she's in the paparazzi video. Obviously, we don't know what her red carpet outfits are like because there's been no red carpets for her to attend. But I think she definitely has that star quality in her compared to Bryce. So I think it is a weird relationship, because I think if you're going to be in that type of relationship, and I don't want to say it because I know there's a lot of celebrities that are in authentic relationships with one person being the celebrity and the other person being their lesser known person, because Ariana Grande. But I think if you're going to be a power couple, you kind of need to be on the same level. Like, look at Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Bryce needs to clean up a little bit and, work on his demeanor and everything if they want to make that relationship work. I think to become a power couple, you need to kind of be on the same level.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I can see that. People, what are you going to do? Thinking of the big TikTokers right now and what they're doing, it seems like everybody's going in a different direction. So we got Josh Richards, who has the Barstool Sports podcast with Dave Portnoy, BFFs, talking about all of the drama and random shit. Then you have Griffin walking his dog and kind of just living his best life, doing whatever it is Griffin does. Noah, who's focusing on his YouTube channel and partnering with Awesomeness TV, trying to get into acting. Addison, obviously, trying to get into acting. Charlie, just doing sponsorships and dancing on TikTok. Dixie, doing singing. Everyone's kind of going in a different direction. And now that there is talk that Sway House is disbanding and Hype House is kind of dissolving in a weird way, do you think that new content houses will start popping up and becoming as popular as the Hype House and Sway House? Because I know that there's Not a Content House and, some other ones like Clubhouse. Austin Mahone just joined Clubhouse. Mm. Are these houses going to be popular and still relevant, or what do you think?
I don't really think so, because I think everything has a phase in a way, whether it's music, where it's 80s music is kind of a big phase right now and trend, whereas a few years ago it was more soul and R&B, but now it's more 80s vibe. So I think everything has a trend, and I kind of think Sway and Hype were the peak of those trends in terms of content houses. Because everything was crazy in the summer of 2020 in terms of, influencers having fans waiting outside their houses, which is weird and crazy. So I think Hype and Sway were kind of the peaks of those phases. So I don't think they'll be as popular by any means, but I think they'll be able to make a career until they find way to peak themselves individually. I think those content houses will be a great entryway into the industry, what a competition show is for musicians. I think content houses will be like that for influencers and social media people.
That's a good point. Yeah, I can see where you're going with that. And speaking of, a lot of them have already kind of began their transition into what they actually want to be doing, and it doesn't involve being on TikTok. So Dixie, Nessa, Jaden, Little Huddy, and Taylor Holder even are doing music right now. So they're all releasing new music. They're all focusing on music and being in the studio right now. Some people are saying, there's only one or two of them that's going to make it through this and be a mainstream artist when this is all over. Right now, they're all doing great because of TikTok and people are swiping up and listening to their song. Who do you think is going to withstand the trials and tribulations that'll come with the music career and being in the music industry once TikTok kind of becomes what Vine is now, sort of irrelevant?
I mean, Taylor Holder, I don't really see him being taken seriously as a musician. Maybe if he drops a track or two that are boppy, he could be a Jason Derulo. But I don't think he'll ever have a lasting career in the industry. I think Dixie has a big shot of becoming a big pop star because, she's already gotten Demi Lovato to write a song for her. I think it was her roommate's song that Demi Lovato wrote. I think she has that quality to become a pop star, where she's kind of like a Selena Gomez or Demi Lovato in that sense, where she writes kind of boppy, emotional songs that relate to her fan base. she definitely has that potential to become a star, like a star in the music industry once TikTok is kind of over. Do I ever see her winning a Grammy in the next 12 years? No, but maybe like Kids' Choice Awards, Teen Choice Awards for sure.
Okay. And what about the rest of them? Like, do you think Nessa, Jaden, or Lil Huddy will have any success? Or
I think Lil Huddy and Jaden have a lot of potential too, just because they're kind of in that Machine Gun Kelly like friend group. So I think just because of their friend group, they have a lot of potential of making it big in that kind of music genre, which is like kind of pop punk. So I definitely think they have potential of becoming big in that genre. Mainstream, not so much. Even though Machine Gun Kelly has finally become a little bit more mainstream, I think it will take them a little bit longer to become mainstream just because of the genre they're in. But I think they'll become big within their own genre. Nessa, I don't really listen to much of her music, so I can't really be a expert on her. But I mean, does she date Jaden right now? I don't know if they're dating. Because
she's dating Josh.
She's dating Josh. Okay. Yeah. Josh isn't a musician.
Shout out to Lil Huddy's new song. I think it's called Eulogy of You and Me. It is incredible, and I'm obsessed.
I was surprised he announced he was going to make music. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, I can say the same. You should share with our listeners what his little nickname for you is.
Oh, shit. Malibu Boy. It's Malibu Boy, because we met him in Malibu on the beach randomly. It was like your first day in L.A., and we were in Malibu watching the sunset, and all of a sudden we see these like group of basic influencing people coming down the beach, and we're like, is that Lil Huddy and Charli D'Amelio? And so yeah, ever since then, you know, seeing him times after that, he started calling me Malibu Boy. So that was kind of a thing.
Yeah, good times with him. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Will, any last words on TikTok, favorite TikTok right now, someone that, you know, you think is on the come up on TikTok, anything?
God, I wish I was better at like up and coming TikTokers. Although there's this guy named he's not really mainstream big yet, but he's hilarious. But he does have a lot of followers. Joe Melee, I don't know what's his last name, but his TikToks are hilarious, and he has 11 million followers, which is big, but he's not like mainstream known yet. But I definitely think he'll become like mainstream just because he also is kind of good looking. So I think he'll become eventually mainstream big.
Okay, well, I'm gonna keep my eye out for him. I gotta check out some of his videos after this call. Other than that, I think that about wraps it up. And I want to thank Will for coming on That's the Tea with Alessandra G and chatting about TikTok, Addison Rae, the craziness of LA, and everything in between. It's been a lot of fun. We have to do this again. And we got to talk about some of our journeys and experiences with these people at a later date, because there are a lot. Let's be real.
There are. Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, Alessandra.
Thank you so much for tuning into another segment of That's the Tea with Alessandra G. Shout out to my friend Will for joining us this week and, of course, spilling some unfiltered tea. We all really needed that. Be sure to subscribe for more episodes coming soon. And remember, stay safe out there, friends, and wash your damn hands.